Well, there we go. So we had, in order, in reverse order, we had the Western Bloc Party, the Christian Heritage Party, the Libertarian Party of Canada, and I don't have my notes in front of me, so I can't remember all the names.
Animal
of the
Environmental
Voters
Alliance.
Alliance Voters Party of Canada. Why they had to throw voters in there, I don't know, but I guess they wanted to differentiate the voters from the animals, I guess.
Should that be allowed?
I don't know. They got the environment, they got the animals, and they got the voters.
We didn't ask her if she. But we should voters, allow the dogs
and
to
the,
vote.
And the voters came last in that list, by the way.
So predictably so. After
a very interesting group of candidates, and of course, we didn't actually invite Stephen Harper or Michael Ignatieff or Jack Layton or Gilles Duceppe onto the show tonight. You know, I thought about doing that just so we could say we were rejected by them, but I decided, I wouldn't even...
Well, I don't know if we would be rejected, but, you know, I think we've given a voice to those
right.
that don't always get a voice,
That's
Terry.
Right.
So we've done our part for this election.
Yeah, well, and I apologize to the other small parties that we didn't get to tonight.
The emails are going to float in, and I'm going to have to deal with them
The
now.
Canada Action Party, I know at least one of our listeners comes from CAP background. He regularly emails us. So the Canada Action Party, the Communist Party of Canada, you know what that is. There's no surprise there. The First People's National Party of Canada, Aboriginal Party, which I would say is kind of, is that racist or no? It's just for those embracing Aboriginal values. So you don't have to be an Aboriginal to be a member of it. Okay. Libertarian Party, we did. Marijuana Party, well, we got a good plug in for the Marijuana Party.
Yeah, Mark Emery did okay
Mark
tonight.
Emery, and that was a passionate plea. From Paul Geddes, by the way. And while we had the Communist Party, but of course there's always infighting in the Communists, so we've also got the Marxist-Leninist Party of Canada as well. It's still out there.
Is it still out there?
It's still out there. They have are expecting 70 candidates, bigger by more than three times than the Communist Party. So I guess there's more traction with being a Marxist-Leninist these days than with being a
probably because this new generation
communist.
Thinks Lenin is in John Lennon. That's maybe why.
Yeah, Groucho Marx, right. There's the People's Political Power Party of Canada as well.
Wow.
And
are you a member of that one?
No. And
People Power? What was that again?
The People's Political Power Party of Canada. Popping my peas there and plenty.
And popping them plenty.
Right, plenty of. Plentitudinously or something.
Pleasantly.
There's also something called the Pirate Party of Canada. It's quite new, and it's about it's sort of for libertarians, internet libertarians who believe in hacking and who don't want their rights to download stock. There is still, by the way, the Progressive Canadian Party, which is that little rump of the Progressive Conservatives who were the progressives that didn't want to join the Conservatives.
You're really into this pee thing tonight, aren't you?
I guess there's a lot of them. So the Progressive Party still exists, and they're expecting 10 to 20 candidates. The good old Rhinoceros Party is still out there in Quebec especially, and we used to have rhinoceros. We had rampant rhinos in British Columbia 25 years ago, as I recall it.
And you tamed them, did you?
Well, the rampant rhinos ran back east and have settled back into their
They're roughing natural, it back there.
Are they? Natural grazing grounds. Ooh, more alliteration of Quebec. And, of course, the United Party of Canada, which it stands for. The United Party of Canada has come into existence to bring all the regions and all the people of Canada together to form a union that will bring the interests and opinions of all Canadians to the forefront.
Well, now, hey, that may be our party, the Policy Party, the United Policy Party, something like that?
We're going to call it the Utopian Party, but they're the United Party of Canada.
Well, we just have to change a few letters then. That's
still
workable.
The UPC. That'll still work out. And so good luck to all of those people. And you know what? That's great that they're all out there. Although some of the people we're talking with tonight, and I'm sure some of these people will say that democracy is dead. As a matter of fact, the Liberals are saying if the Conservatives win a majority, democracy will be dead. But democracy is not dead in Canada. We wouldn't be on the air right now if democracy were dead, right?
We're the living proof.
We are the living, breathing, palpitating proof.
At Roadkill Radio.
The palpitating proof.
You are good.
Because we're vibrant.
Oh, is that what it is?
That's right. We're palpitating with life.
Huh.
Isn't it? Palpitations are like thumping away, right? That's right.
Did you want to thump away?
Well, you know what? I've got a couple of things here that we needed to save some time on. And since we've been talking federal politics, I have to say that I think, I don't know where to begin on this one. It has to do with James Moore.
Okay, but wait a minute. Okay. I get very suspicious when you don't know where to start with something, Terry.
Yeah,
because I have a feeling you know exactly where you're going to start.
Well, I actually don't, because there's so many things about this that just drive me nuts.
Okay, well, let me help you with it then. You just lay it on me.
Where do I start? Yeah. I start at the beginning. Well, here's the major part of the story, is that on Friday, the Liberal Party of Canada released a press release. And this press release made it into the Globe and Mail, CTV.ca. I didn't see it in the National Post, and I actually didn't see it in either local papers over the weekend here, either the Vancouver Sun or the Province. But this, which was surprising, because this press release dealt with James Moore, a heritage minister for North Coquitlam, in the area where I live. And
you're just a buzz of activity.
Okay,
there,
well, sorry,
you?
We are too. James has been an MP for about a decade now, and he was first elected when he was in his young 20s, and he's now in his young 30s or something, early rather. Anyway, this press release, of all the things going on in the world, of all the issues that have come up in the election, of the big issues that haven't been touched on, of the small issues that have been beaten to death, the Liberals issue a press release based on a column that a 19-year-old James Moore wrote for a student newspaper in Prince George when he was attending the University of Northern British Columbia. Now,
wait a minute.
Not as if there hadn't been five other elections that James Moore has run in where they couldn't have done this and got some traction with it. No, well, maybe they even did it before. Nobody paid any attention. They're paying attention now. So, first off, it is kind of scary, don't you think, that there's this party, have all these little minions and worker bees who are scurrying around looking up anything that anybody might have said any time in their career, anything that they've written any time in their life.
Before their career.
Before their career.
19 years old.
You know? And it takes into account, okay, this press release questioned whether or not he was truly committed to a woman's freedom of choice for abortion, because he had the gall to kind of he had the gall when he was 19 years old to write a column, and it was quite a well-written column, about the partial birth abortion debate. And you know how horrible, and I'm sure most of our listeners know how horrible a procedure we're talking about when we're describing partial birth abortion. It was an issue that galvanized the United States, and it's one of the big things that turning the tide in the United States. It's becoming slowly more pro-life. And so James Moore, at 19 years old, astute person, looking, saying, you know, he was saying this is not an issue in Canada, but in the United States it's an issue, and it's a... He sort of said, listen to this, if you're defending the woman's right to choose to have an abortion just because it's to support her well-being, even in the case of partial birth abortions, well-being is a pretty flimsy argument to base your support on, because maybe a woman's well-being is just simply wanting to lose weight, or not wanting to lose the use of a wardrobe that she's grown accustomed to. You know, that's taking an argument and going to lengths with it, which is common rhetorical thing to do.
Way of looking at the proper exercise in this issue, though.
Absolutely, because if anything's extreme here, it's the partial birth abortion issue is pretty extreme.
That take place here in Canada.
They take place in Canada, sure. Late-term abortions take place in Canada. If they don't, I don't know why they aren't. I have to tip my hat to doctors across Canada if they're not doing it. They certainly have every right to do it.
Because there's no law governing
Canada. So
An astute 19-year-old James Moore
happens to point out the absurdity of basing your position in support of partial birth abortions and late-term abortions simply on a woman's well-being. So that's what he wrote when he was 19 years old. And so...
In Prince George.
In Prince George, okay. And they dug this thing up. And so they called on him to repudiate his views on late-term abortion expressed in the editorial, which McGilvery, which is the, coincidentally, a 19-year-old Stuart McGilvery, is the candidate running against James Moore in my riding. They had
for the Liberals?
For the Liberals, who's never run an election, who is actually doesn't even live in the riding, a parachute candidate in the lower mainland. They couldn't find any Liberal.
He's not old enough
okay,
to parachute.
No. I'm sorry, he walked in on his bicycle. He's calling on Moore to repudiate his position, which he called reprehensible. Now,
I think it's rather okay. leadership material.
Okay, yes. But here's the other part of this story, which is so stupid.
There's more to the
story.
There's
more to it. It's because the young James Moore was, when we supported him when he first ran for office, was essentially a pro-lifer, was a family values kind of a guy. And over the years, he quickly became probably the most liberal person in the conservative, one of the most, if not the most liberal, socially liberal person in the conservative caucus, voting in support of Sven Robinson's initiatives, voting against bills to protect women, against people who want to force them to have abortion. He's become a pro-choicer, non-parallel. So he is that now, and yet they still attack him based on something he said, wrote, more than a decade ago. I mean, and that's how low the Liberals have sunk. These were Liberals, by
low,
the way.
Low, or is that desperate? That's
desperate.
An act of desperation to me. If that's what they have to do to dig up that long ago, under those circumstances, this subject. Well, and you know what else, Terry? They're out of touch with reality.
Well, there's another thing. I mean... So, we should be able to debate partial birth abortion, and it should be banned as well as abortion should be banned. We should be, and by the way, that's my personal belief. It's not on behalf of any organization I'm a member of. We've got the issue of Moore changing his opinion over the years, you know. C, we've got the issue of the Liberals sinking so low to dig something up like this up, issuing a press release of it, and not just saying explain yourself, but calling him to repudiate the views, saying these views are reprehensible. That suggests that the Liberals believe that anybody holding any view that's not 100% pro-life is reprehensible. Pro-choice is reprehensible. That, to me, is outrageous. I mean, we talked about living in a democracy, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, surely the Liberal Party and all the parties and anybody with a head on his shoulders knows in Canada there are differences of opinion on this issue. Surely, as mature people living in a democracy, we can debate these things without being called, without demands that we repudiate views like this, without name calling, saying they're reprehensible. So that's the other issue.
There's another issue. Okay, it's the fact that the downstream media would even give legs to this story.
I think they were, they weren't pressing Moore to repudiate. They were sort of, I'm not sure if they were absolutely on the Liberal side here. Moore, by the way, reacted rather...
What did he say?
I'm not going to dance with a liar, he said. It's bullshit. And he said...
that ain't no waltz.
If Stuart McGilvery keeps on doing this sort of stuff, I'm going to issue a press release accusing Stuart McGilvery of cheating on his exams. Now, that's not exactly a classy way of responding to this thing either. So, like... one thing you can say is that there is pretty firm evidence that James Moore did write this thing. Now he's what people make of it, they can make of it.
Well, you know what, Terry?
There's no evidence that Stuart McGilvery ever cheated on his exams.
Maybe James Moore has his little minions out being busy.
Maybe. I don't know.
But you know what, Terry? You know what the absolute, and I want to use the word absurdity again, because the whole abortion debate has changed so much since Moore was 19. The technology that allows us now to see what a baby in the womb looks like.
Yeah, you're right.
This is an important discussion, and it's sad. It's tragic that Moore didn't take advantage of this opportunity to bring that debate, to bring that discussion to the forefront of what really needs to be done, and to use that to demonstrate how regressive the liberal policies and positions and platforms on this issue are.
I would have loved to have, on that point, I would have loved to have seen Moore defend his column that he wrote when he was 19 years old, saying, "I stand by my words. Those were valid points that I made back then. I made them very well.
And they stand true today.
And they are just true today." I mean, if you do say that a woman's well-being is the only criterion that you must use to decide whether or not she has an abortion, and then how do you define well-being? A woman's could define well-being in many different ways. It's very subjective. And he pointed,
and it can change on a daily basis.
And it can, as we know from watching the show, at least weekly, and perhaps more. Once we go daily,
and I retain that right as a woman. It's one I will never give up.
So I would like to have seen James Moore defend his position. He didn't defend. He attacked in quite a blunt and
classless way too. I mean, that's not a good, you know, there was a high road that he could have taken there.
That's why I said, I don't know where I was going to start with this thing, because there were so many angles. And you point out, too, this became newsworthy. It kind of, if the Liberal Party candidate issues a news release like this.
As long as the media is poking fun at the Liberals.
Well, I haven't really done that.
Well,
I mean,
no,
I didn't do an extensive
research. Of course not.
Research.
That would be like committing the sins of all sins to poke fun at a Liberal.
But I imagine that, you know, the Globe and Mail, I bet you the Toronto Star, we should search the Toronto Star and see if they probably, I wonder if they cover this. But anyway, the Globe did. And CTV did. And there you go. There's the issue that didn't become an issue. But boy, in one way, I wish it became a big issue, because I want to get abortion on the table here. We tried to raise it tonight with the Libertarians.
Actually,
Christian Heritage Party as well.
There's a story to that, though, Terry O'Neill, because now I don't know all the details, and I think we can look at it more in depth next week. But apparently the Liberals started a Facebook and inviting people to talk about the issues that were important to them. So a number of pro-life activists busy because they did want this issue to be talked about.
Yes.
And suddenly those postings were disappearing.
Right. So they couldn't have that.
I guess the conservatives won't allow liberal dissidents into their meetings, and the liberals won't allow discussion that's contrary to their platform on their Facebook.
Good point. That was the that was the BC Liberal Party. That's right. That's actually on LifeSiteNews.com. Very good website, by the way. LifeSiteNews.com has a story about that right now. The BC Liberal Party Facebook page blocks pro-life comments, bans users.
Naughty, naughty pro-lifers again.
Hey, listen. This is an interesting issue. That's quite something, isn't it?
Well,
and I don't think many Canadians know that story about James Moore and the 19-year-old candidate for the Liberals, Stuart McGilvery, is out there. But maybe knew that press release came up. But boy, oh boy, that tells you a lot about what's going on in Canadian politics right now. We've got time to go into another issue, and I alerted Kerry to this before. And actually, we sort of touched on it a bit, especially with Jim Nachuk of the Christian Heritage Party, and that's about multiculturalism and the problems that multiculturalism is encountering in countries such as France, Germany, Great Britain. And this story comes out of France, and it's kind of a backlash story, and boy, oh boy, things are being polarized there. We know that there is increasing tension in France between the Muslim immigrants, and basically everyone else. And it seems to me that is actually empowering. And by the way, France, of course, voted recently to ban the use of the Muslim veil, the religious veil, or it's not specifically religious, it's more cultural, in public space, public places in France. So you have that happening. You also have this story here where it seems to indicate that conservative Christians are now being emboldened to assert their beliefs in a way that they would not have done before. And I'm not saying this is necessarily the best way of doing it, but I also have to say that this story brought a bit of brought a bit of a smile to my face. This story out of
A closet rebel.
The Guardian newspaper in the United Kingdom. Attack on blasphemous artwork fires debate on role of religion in France. You might have heard of an artist out of New York called Andres Serrano, who a couple of decades ago, almost 25 years ago now, got this brilliant idea of taking religious icons, little statuettes of the Pope, crucifixes, immersing them in transparent vials of his own urine and taking pictures of that and blowing them up into very big dimensions, sort of like a large slide, and then backlighting them, framing them, and museums and art galleries all over the world bid up the value of these, could not wait to buy these things. And I remember when one of these came to Vancouver in the early 1990s, it was entitled A Pissed Pope, because it was a statuette of Pope John Paul II, a picture of a statuette of John Paul II immersed in urine. And you should have heard all the artistes talking about it was the juxtaposition of the venal and the holy, the corporeal nature of the urine versus the spiritual nature of the Pope, and how the tension, the artistic tension was so wonderful, and it's a great work of art, and art has to be controversial.
Did we create a university course for this?
You know, I'm sure that done. You know?
We better not give him any ideas.
So there's a piss Christ that's out there as well, and I hope I'm not offending anybody by naming these so-called works of art. Anyway, there's a piss Christ that was on display in France. And what happened, there was a series of escalating protests. And there were a few protests here in British Columbia 25 years ago as well, or 20 years ago. Anyway, this protests and controversy reached what is said to be an unprecedented peak on Palm Sunday, when this work of art was attacked with hammers and destroyed. The violent slashing of the picture and another Serrano photograph of a meditating nun has plunged secular France into soul-searching about Christian fundamentalism. Well, that's kind of an interesting way of putting it. I think there's been a lot of soul-searching in France about Islamic fundamentalism as well, and now we've got Christian fundamentalism too. What do you make of that, Carrie?
You know, I think it's indicative, Terry, of a growing mood, and maybe it's becoming global, and certainly I suppose with the internet we have the ability to find out information globally speaking, so the world is getting to be a smaller place. But I do think that there is a sense that you can only push people so far, and then they're going to come out swinging. And,
yeah, literally.
You know,
here.
And I don't think, or wielding.
Yeah, wielding.
But, you know, I think it's a wake-up call. That, you know, we've been so tolerant of granting special rights and privileges to people in the name of whether it's religious freedom or expression of art, all these kinds of things that truly don't deserve that kind of protection. And, you know, the first thing that came to my mind as you were speaking was, oh my goodness, they're going to create a bubble zone on the museum. You know, I'm almost afraid
protest.
To say that. Yeah.
Well, the Christian fundamentalists in France didn't unleash bombers into New York City or launch embargoes against all the United States the way we've seen Islamic protesters in parts of the world. And they didn't take the streets and kill each other and kill innocent people as well, as Islamic protesters did to protest those editorial cartoons that we saw as well. So yet this does represent, I think, something that we're going to have to be very watch very carefully yep. as the weeks go on. And maybe we'll talk more about it next week. I'm not going to be here next week.
No, nope, we're letting you out. Yeah.
And so it's been another great show. Thank you very much for joining us. You've been listening to Roadkill Radio with...
Carrie Simpson.
And I'm Terry O'Neill. Thanks, and we'll see you again soon. Bye-bye.
Good night, everybody.
You've been listening to Roadkill Radio. Join us again next week for another trip down the superhighway of information, fact, and truth.